This is Jay Sekulow. It's at the Supreme Court of the United States. It's the HHS mandate of Obamacare.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I think the administration's case is very weak, and I think it has enormous political implications. If Hobby Lobby chooses to avoid providing these coverage for these four contraceptives out of the 20 that they're required to, they will get fines of about $500 million a year. This is a company that employs 13,000 Americans. Plus, at a time when there's been tens of millions of Americans have been exempted. So all the selective implementation of Obamacare, combined with huge fines for businesses that are actually employing Americans, I think is terrible for the overall debate over Obamacare.
You and 18 of your colleagues felt strongly enough to file a brief in this case. One of the arguments was that a woman's boss shouldn't be calling the shots about her access to birth control. The other side, of course, would argue it's not about access, it's about religious freedom.
Well, that's a distinction without a difference. Hobby Lobby decided what kind of birth control pills women should use when 99% of women have used birth control at some point in their lifetime, including 98% of Catholic women.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Most people need to realize this is not just contraceptive, traditional right. contraceptive coverage. This is also coverage for euthanasia and abortion. It comes in one package in the federal government's mind that orders the entities that employ 50 or more people to make this available to their employees.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. We've got live reports to you coming right from the Supreme Court of the United States. Our offices in Washington, D.C., literally across the street. We look at the Supreme Court of the United States, and they look back. And Jordan was there with some of the folks from our office. And a very shocking development in the oral arguments today in the HHS mandate case, the Hobby Lobby case, Conestoga Woods. We also, by the way, have a case pending the disposition of these. We've won eight cases involving this, but this is now at the Supreme Court of the United States. And, Jordan, a pretty shocking development to a series of questions where the federal government stated exactly what their position would be with regard to abortion. Folks, this is incredible. You'll need to listen to what Jordan's saying here.
Well, there's been a lot of talk that the idea that if the government can mandate these contraceptions, including the abortifacients, that they could mandate abortion, and that those if people said, no, that's a different argument. This is not the same thing. We're talking about birth control here. And when asked by Justice Kennedy, the Solicitor General of the United States, the Obama administration's representative, point blank, direct question, could the government mandate that companies pay for employees' abortions? The answer was yes. It's not the law now, but yes, it could. That there would be no argument that these companies could make if you're a for-profit company. The idea that there's no argument that you could make. There's no coverage under either the First Amendment or RFRA, the federal law protecting the First Amendment, basically, and the government's exercise
over that.
So
let's explain this again to everybody. The government's chief lawyer, the Solicitor General of the United States, is asked about mandating abortions, and his answer is?
Yes, companies could be mandated to pay for their employees' abortions.
David, this is the position. We've said this. People said, oh, I can't imagine that they could take that legal position. But that's precisely what we argued in our briefs, and it's precisely what they said they had the right to do. And folks, you need to understand that. Mandate paying for abortions. Mandate the employer pay for an abortion.
Well, of course they were going to say that if they're being honest, because their position is that Hobby Lobby has zero, none, nada religious freedom rights at all. That's their position, is that entity run by the Green family, a faithful Christian family, has absolutely no religious freedom.
I mean, understand this, folks. The federal government's position is they can mandate abortions to be paid for by employers, whether the employer likes or not, and they said that at the Supreme Court of the United States. You surprised by this? We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We're going to be taking your calls. And let me tell you this also, folks. We are two things we're doing. Number one, we are still committed to the defunding and the removal of Obamacare. And there's still moves in Congress to do it, whether it's through the courts, whether it's through the legislature. We're committed to it. We want you to stand with us. You could do so by signing that petition at aclj.org. That's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. aclj.org or 877-989-2255. But folks, we're also in the last week of our March Matching Challenge campaign, and we're short of our goal. We need your help. If you want to make an online tax-deductible donation to the ACLJ, aclj.org. That's aclj.org. More from the Supreme Court in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's uncertainty in the Middle East or challenging Obamacare and the Internal Revenue Service in federal court, the ACLJ focuses on the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether we're defending liberty here at home or around the globe, the ACLJ could not do its work without you, your support. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be doubled. A $25 gift becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. And you can make your gift online at aclj.org. The matching challenge is a critical way to support the work of the ACLJ. So take a moment right now and stand with the ACLJ. Double your gift today. Make a difference. Online, aclj.org, or call 1-877-989-2255.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
Jordan has just left the Supreme Court of the United States just moments ago with the oral arguments in the Hobby Lobby cases, the Conestoga Wood cases, and of course a lot of us have cases. We have a case pending up there as well, so there's a lot riding on this. The case involves the HHS mandate. Remember, we argued that this legislation was the largest grant to abortion rights, certainly in the last decade. And the Obama administration, oh, this is nothing about abortion. It's not about abortion. Of course, then we found reproductive choice, as they called it, throughout the bill. Of called Obamacare. But more importantly, at the oral argument today, I want to reiterate this point that Jordan made. The issue came up, could in fact the government compel employers to pay for abortions? And Jordan, the answer of the United States government's position at the Supreme Court of the United States is?
Cool. Yes, that they absolutely could compel that if they wanted to, that they could make that part of the mandate, and that they could still go through and maybe give some exemptions for churches, maybe some kind of accommodations for religious organizations and nonprofits, but they could absolutely mandate for-profit companies to pay for their employees' abortions.
So I want everybody to understand what we're doing here. So Jordan, literally moments ago, let me paint the picture for you here. We filed briefs in the case representing a lot of you that are listening to this broadcast, but also our clients, because we have 8 of these cases pending and 1 at the Supreme Court. Jordan just left the Supreme Court, and the argument came up about mandating abortions themselves to be paid for out of from Obamacare or some type of legislation. Can the government compel that to be paid for? And David, really unsurprisingly, though, but yet shocking when you hear it, the government, the federal government's position, the Obama administration's position is the government can compel a private employer to pay for abortions, period. Unequivocal, Jordan said.
You know, look, they were being honest because that's their core assertion here. The main defense here is that Hobby Lobby has absolutely no religious liberty rights. And so think about what that means. And you have a post up at FoxNews.com, yeah, an opinion piece. This essentially eliminates the private and private enterprise, because what it says is that any company can be completely commandeered by the government to advance the government's social agenda. Any company. So what's private about private enterprise anymore?
Well, Paul Clement, who's a good friend of ours, former Solicitor General of the United States, presented oral arguments today. He went outside and spoke in front of the court just moments ago. Here's what he said.
We think that the court obviously took these cases very seriously, took them under consideration. We do think that there are real concerns when the government comes in and takes a position that even a kosher deli that was told that it would have to be open on a Saturday, that they would have no basis to even to get into court and make that claim. That is a very, very difficult argument to sustain. The nature of their argument would also say that a for-profit medical clinic would have no ability to raise a conscience objection, and only if Congress provides a conscience objection would they have been in a position to do that. So those are the arguments that were presented to the court today. Obviously, we covered a great deal of territory.
I'll tell you something. That was exactly – we made those arguments, by the way, a lot of those arguments in our brief, but that's precisely what's at stake here. But I want everybody that's listening to understand, when we say the Obama administration is the most pro-abortion administration in U.S. history, look what they have said and look what they are doing. And that is they are taking the position – unequivocally, Jordan, set the framework of how this came up because people need to understand. And literally, Jordan left the courtroom minutes ago.
Yeah, you got it. It was questioning by Justice Kennedy to the Solicitor General of the United States, the Obama administration's representative in court. And the question came about the idea of, why can't there be a challenge to this mandate? What makes this mandate so specific? And what would be the limits, to the idea of what the government could force and what could a private employer actually challenge? And I don't think – and people actually, I don't think were expecting the question. It was not something that was necessarily following in the chain of questioning. And then Justice Kennedy, in this kind of chain of questioning, was back and forth about the idea of do private companies like Hobby Lobby have any kind of religious freedom rights? Are they covered by the First Amendment? Are they covered by the RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act? And then all of a sudden the question was, so you could mandate abortions. Also, you can mandate that these companies pay for abortions as well. And the government's response was, well, we haven't. But yes, we could.
I'll tell you something, folks. Like David said, we're not shocked. But it is shocking to hear they're so forthright about it. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. By the way, if you want to stand for life, we've got a petition up right now at ACLJ.org. We encourage you to sign it. It's to repeal, refund, get rid of, defund Obamacare once and for all, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Also, folks, we're into the last week of our March Matching Challenge. David, where are we in the prize? We're close. We're just not there yet.
We're catching up. We're a little over $200,000 away.
Hey, folks, so here's what the way it works. We do these about three times a year. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching grant for. Let me encourage you to go to the website right now or at ACLJ.org or during the day. ACLJ.org. You make an online gift, we get a matching grant for it, and it's tax deductible. So if you donate $10, we get $20, $100, we get $200. Some people donate $1,000, we get $2,000. So ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. But you also can sign the petition there as well at ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take a phone call.
Yep, right to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Ron in New Hampshire, line 2. Ron, welcome to JSecuo Live.
Hi, Ron.
Hi. I just wanted to say this is really the big issue is whether you check your citizenship at the door if you want to open a company. They're starting with religious freedom is in question now, but it would extend to all rights that go along with citizenship.
Sure. I mean, we've got, you had the issue, which the left hates, and Citizen United, the Supreme Court found that there was a First Amendment right of freedom of speech for corporations. This is basically taking a free exercise approach to that. Does the free exercise religious freedom protections apply to corporations? Jordan, did that come up much at the argument?
Oh, absolutely. Do the organizations themselves, and how do you limit that? Of course, the opposing argument here is that everyone will come forward and say, see, every company will come forward and it will be, I don't like vaccines, I don't like the Social Security, I don't like tax. And the truth is, and it seemed like Chief Justice Roberts was comfortable with the idea that we're talking about here closely held corporations. If it was Exxon coming to make this argument, the court would be a lot more skeptical about, even the case making it there. And the question about would that case ever get there at the publicly held level. So we're talking about, these small companies. These are closely held businesses, S corporations and family held corporations. And again, the Obama administration's argument that there is no that they have no First Amendment protections, no RFRA protections under the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And the Obama administration did want to go further too, and they did not like the idea. Maybe it's because of their pro-abortion supporters who are out in full force stay outside of the court, but they did not like the idea of even calling what they have done for religious organizations an exemption also. They kept trying to make clear for the justices, no, it was an accommodation. You're still having to pay for the abortifacients and birth control and the contraception, but they're signing a form so the insurance company is doing it. So basically, again, agreeing. There was also discussion already about the cases involving religious organizations like Little Sisters of the Poor and the others.
Well, you know, which brings up the whole situation here, folks. You understand what's at play. I mean, I think that's, David, we've got to put this in perspective, what's at play here. We've had 8 of these cases. We've won 8, actually. We have 8 injunctions, including courts of appeals. One of ours we did take to the Supreme Court because on the free exercise claim, they basically avoided it, and we want that issue addressed. Having said that, what's at stake here is the Obama administration is basically being forced to come clean on their position, and their position is so, I would say, so left of center, so beholden to the abortion industry that it's although we knew this, it's when you see, I said this a couple of times, when you actually hear it, it's still shocking that they would be that beholden to the industry.
I mean, they are believing they, in essence, have unlimited power over a corporation, that whatever the government says a corporation must do, that corporation must do, no matter what the beliefs of its owners are, no matter the values of the owners, no matter the values of the corporation. The Obama administration is taking the position the government rules all in the world of free enterprise. And I think what Jordan said is very, very interesting. As they were even going into these nonprofits, like, say, the Catholic hospitals and other things like that, the Baptist hospitals, et cetera, they're saying they have that power over those entities as well. They just chose to exercise it differently. And so that's a really key point here. The private, for-profit, nonprofit distinction here doesn't really matter to the Obama administration. It believes it has unlimited power over all.
Well, folks, that's why we're fighting back, and this is where you come in. If you want to stand up for life, I want you on this petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, we want to encourage you to stand with us in our matching challenge campaign. Less than a week to go for our March 8th challenge here. We're a little bit behind where we need to be, but we know we'll get there. You've been very faithful in the past. Go to ACLJ.org. Your tax-deductible contribution is matched. So any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for it. It's that simple. ACLJ.org. You can also call your pledge in. Easiest way to do it, of course, is ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We encourage you to make that call. Stand with us as we stand for freedom. And sign on to that petition to remove Obamacare once and for all at ACLJ.org. Or 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's uncertainty in the Middle East or challenging Obamacare and the Internal Revenue Service in federal court, the ACLJ focuses on the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether we're defending liberty here at home or around the globe, the ACLJ could not do its work without you, your support. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be doubled.
$25 gift becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. And you can make your gift online at aclj.org. The matching challenge is a critical way to support the work of the ACLJ, so take a moment right now and stand with the ACLJ. Double your gift today. Make a difference. Online, aclj.org, or call 1-877-989-2255.
All right, you got to keep fighting back. That's exactly what we're doing. We're taking your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Justice Alito raised the highest profile question of the case, according to the Wall Street Journal. Can for-profit corporations make free exercise claims at all? Or rather, why did the government believe for-profit corporation can't raise such claims? Jordan, what was the response to the lawyers there?
The response from the Obama administration first was that, well, they never have. And Chief Justice Roberts shot back, cut the lawyer off immediately. The Solicitor General said, but they never haven't either. I mean, the court has not said that they can't. Just because there's not an example of them doing it doesn't mean they can't do it. So it's basically the court did acknowledge that this is a new area, but there has never been a prohibition on this before in the past that it's ever stopped. The way the Obama administration tried to say that it was different from a situation where you had a butcher or being forced to open was that the individual butchers brought the case, you know. But the idea that in Justice Breyer was even questioned this, that the moment you incorporate, you lose standing, that you can no longer challenge things under the First Amendment. I think, you know, and that was the Obama administration's position, at least in the oral argument. And they made that very clear. They were given a number of times to change that position, to refine that position. And again, they really no one wanted to say Citizens United. You never heard that throughout the oral argument.
Right.
But the entire time, that's exactly what was on trial again.
But, David, we said this earlier, and it's true. This is consistent with the Obama administration's position. When we said early on in this legislation, when it was being debated, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, we said early on, this is an abortion funding mechanism. And the administration said, no, 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 it's not. But the end result is now they're saying in court, not only is it, but it certainly could require abortion funding directly.
Well, you know, what they're doing is they're just sort of skipping the middleman of the government funding abortion.
Right.
And they're going straight to private citizens and saying, you're going to have to pay for it directly, regardless of your rights of conscience, regardless of your religious convictions. And it's hard to think of a more grotesque expansion of the power of the federal government than that.
I tell you, I couldn't agree more. I think this is a fight we got to take. And we've taken it, and it's at the Supreme Court of the United States. Can't go any higher than that. We'll see what the result is. We don't judge how a case is going to come out by oral arguments, folks. It's been brief. We've written briefs. There's been hundreds and thousands of pages filed on this. The arguments took place today. Jordan, anybody, you know, Justice Thomas usually doesn't say much. Were any of the other justices, I know that a lot of the justices were active. Were they all pretty active in the court?
Yeah, it was different. I mean, for the Hobby Lobby lawyers and so forth, our position on this, it was basically Kagan and Sotomayor who dominated the discussion right off the bat.
Yep.
And tried to make it and say, you know, it's not really about birth control. It's about, can we really allow people to start getting any kind of accommodations? Very law school hypothetical type. But in a sense, I may have done damage to their own argument because it was so obvious that they were hung up on it. But I don't think the other justices necessarily were. But they didn't let the other justices get much of a word in. Then when it came time to the government, they were basically silent. And you saw the government, and this was similar to the Affordable Care Act case, so that's why you can't because of that, right? It's just because, and I think there's going to be a lot of people coming out saying that because of the way it sounded in oral argument that you had more justices who were hostile to the government vocally. Now, at the same time, it looks like a case where you're talking, it's a one or two vote case, very similar to the other cases. This is not going to be a majority case. And it was clearly so much disagreement on the court that there were times, and this was an hour and a half long oral argument, there were times where the questioning was bouncing around to the point where you were going back to questions that were asked minutes ago to get started with the answers. It was a lot of different things going on.
Interestingly, Politico's headline reads, Hobby Lobby case, justice is skeptical of White House position. By the way, they ran the same headline during the Affordable Care Act, and they were skeptical, but they ended up, the Obama administration won that. So you don't go by the oral arguments, folks. Believe me, I've done enough of them to know that. Sometimes they go great and you lose. Sometimes they don't go so great and you win. You just don't know in that regard. You brief it. You make the best legal arguments you can. We've done that, and we see what happens. All right, we're taking your calls again, 1-800-684-3110. Stand with us in this fight for life. The day this case is argued at the Supreme Court, we've got this petition to defund Obamacare. It can be done. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. But also, folks, again, we're in that matching challenge. ACLJ.org. Any amount you contribute helps us directly, and we get a matching gift for it. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Jordan, let's take another call.
Yeah, let's go to Lorraine in Nebraska, line 6. Lorraine, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Jay. Say, I've been listening to your program because I'm kind of laid up. I had a broken foot.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And I hear a lot of things that I normally don't hear, but I understand exactly what is going on because being a Christian, we must know that we're already winners, but we have to stand with each other because divided, we will fall.
Well, look, I mean, we heard from David. What was the number on this? Was it 250,000? It was a huge number.
Yeah.
I mean, we heard, Lorraine, just so you know, I mean, it was hundreds. Can we get the exact number? We'll have it. If we don't have it now, we'll have it in the next half hour. I think it was 230 or 250,000 people part of our committee for this brief. I mean, a quarter of a million people we heard from, plus a lot of members of the House and Senate, and of course, you know, our clients as well. So people stood up. I mean, the effort was made here. Jordan, a good case was put forward. No doubt about that, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it was just one of those situations very similar to the Affordable Care Act where, you know, politically speaking, you know where people come down. We know that the left, we've been saying it, they confirmed it today in court, the Obama administration feels like the government could, if it wants to, mandate abortions, that companies pay for abortions as part of the insurance, as part of the mandated insurance they must provide. And the idea, again, that, of course, conservatives, those on the right, those who are pro-life, don't support that. There's no reason. If this was really just about contraceptive, there would not have been a gigantic Planned Parenthood and NARAL rally out there. It's because it's about abortion. That's what's in NARAL's name. It's not a National Association for Birth Control. It's a National Abortion Rights Action League. And they were out in full force with their typical chants because they love the fact that the Obama administration's in there saying that we could mandate abortion coverage if we want to.
Well, I'll tell you, this is exactly the position we knew they were going to take. So we're not shocked, but it is shocking again when you hear it. Folks, we're here for another half hour. Remember, on SiriusXM, you get the full hour of the broadcast. If not, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're streaming it there. Our phone lines are jammed right now. They'll open up in a few minutes at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. David, let me ask you quickly here. Your sense of the significance of this case, or these cases, period, I guess.
Yeah, no, these are some of the most significant cases of the last few decades because it really goes to where does the federal government have limits to its power. And as you heard from the Obama administration in this case, they're saying when it comes to corporations, there are really no limits. And this is something that a lot of people have been ignoring. It's not just about the First Amendment and about
right.
liberty. It's also about our free enterprise system.
Yeah, because you've got the government coming in basically saying they could do anything. I mean, they could come in and mandate anything, which, of course, we know that's the Obama administration's position, so we shouldn't be shocked at that. All right, folks, we're here, as I said, for another half hour on SiriusXM and a number of other stations. If you want to talk to us on air, we're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jordan just left the courtroom. Supreme Court of the United States, by the way, of 260,000 signatures on these committees. Over a quarter of a million people signed with us. Hey, if you want to stand up for life, we got the petition up right now to defund Obamacare, ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. Let me encourage something else, though, folks. We're in the last week of our matching challenge campaign. Go to ACLJ.org right now. We really would appreciate a matching gift. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Back with more in a moment.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Of you joined with us in going to the Supreme Court of the United States today and those briefs that we filed in the oral argument today. Jordan was in the courtroom representing our interests and is able to give us a live report. Jordan, give us your, by the way, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Give us your overview of how you think it went.
You know, it's interesting because we got the question about could the federal government mandate a company like Hobby Lobby, pay for abortions as part of this insurance mandate, as part of the Affordable Care Act, which the Supreme Court held to be constitutional as a tax. Remember the individual right. mandate. There's the employer mandate idea, and the Obama administration was very clear with the answer, yes. They also don't believe that corporations have any First Amendment interest when it comes to religious freedom. So when it comes to free exercise or any protection there.
Huge ramifications on that.
And on top of that, don't believe that the word person, which usually does include corporations, in RFRA, which is a federal law that goes further even than the First Amendment, which right. says it's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, that also doesn't apply here. So that there would be no way, if you incorporate as a for-profit business, that you can get any kind of protections when it comes to the First Amendment. And they tried to make this bizarre distinction. I don't think the justices like this. I don't know it'll be determinative. But the idea that there's some major difference between a nonprofit could have hundreds of employees, thousands of employees, and a for-profit, which could have 200 employees. So one could be bigger than the nonprofit could be bigger than the for-profit, and somehow they have different constitutional basic protections.
All right, so let's break this down, folks. And again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you're on the line, hang in there. We're going to get to you in a moment. 1-800-684-3110. So let's break it down, David. The administration's position is, number one, no free exercise rights. Number two, the government can mandate the coverage of abortion directly by the corporation, whether they like it or not. And three, once you have a for-profit business, basically you're outside of constitutional protections. That's pretty drastic positions for even the Obama administration.
You know, I would say it's even further that I don't think it's clear that they're marking out a line between for-profit and nonprofit.
Yeah, probably not.
I think the reality is they're saying, well, we've just been nicer to the nonprofits. It's not that the nonprofits have rights under RFRA and the for-profits don't. It's just that the Obama administration, in its infinite benevolence and mercy, just treats nonprofits differently out of the goodness of its own heart. But we don't rely on the government to do things out of the goodness of its own heart. We rely on individual rights. We rely on the rights of groups like Hobby Lobby to be able to resist government encroachment.
You know, we had eight corporations, some large ones, some smaller ones, that filed suits in multiple jurisdictions. We won all of them. We did take one up to the Supreme Court because one of the issues did not come in our favor, although we still got the injunction, so that's up pending. Whatever happens in these cases will directly impact what happens in our cases. So as you can imagine, this is a hugely important argument and a very significant impact it's going to have on religious liberty. Jordan, what was the atmospherics inside the courtroom?
You know, it was a case that it was very typical. The justices who don't like this off the bat on both sides, you had the Obama nominees. I mean, is it any surprise that Justice Kagan, I mean, who it still surprises me. It was a surprising Affordable Care Act, surprising now. She was a Solicitor General. She was in the position of the Obama administration while this law was being drafted, and these provisions of the law were being drafted, and there she is getting to decide whether or not it's constitutional or not. So she took the lead. So, again, for the second time, doesn't recuse herself, and looked more like, sounded a lot more like an attorney. Never was asking questions, was making statements and legal arguments. But the question is, who are they actually trying to persuade? Didn't seem like that was necessarily directed at trying to persuade the Chief Justice or Justice Kennedy. And again, you know, it looks like the similar makeup where you look to Chief Justice Roberts and Kennedy as the swing votes.
All right, we've got a lot more ahead, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We want you to stand up for life as we talk about the oral argument in the HHS cases today. ACLJ.org to sign that petition. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And folks, we're in the last week of our March Matching Challenge. We could really use your help. ACLJ.org for that online contribution. That's ACLJ.org. And back with your calls in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's uncertainty in the Middle East or challenging Obamacare and the Internal Revenue Service in federal court, the ACLJ focuses on the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether we're defending liberty here at home or around the globe, the ACLJ could not do its work without you, your support. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be doubled. A $25 gift becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. And you can make your gift online at ACLJ.org. The matching challenge is a critical way to support the work of the ACLJ. So take a moment right now and stand with the ACLJ. Double your gift today. Make a difference. Online, ACLJ.org, or call 1-877-989-2255. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Supreme Court oral arguments today in the Hobby Lobby cases. Jordan was inside that courtroom. So we've been able to give you reports literally from the Supreme Court as he walked across the street, because our offices are right across the street from the Supreme Court of the United States. We've got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go to them again. If you want to talk to us on air, it's easy to do. 1-800-684-3110. Jordan?
Yep, let's go right to the phones. We'll go to Gloria calling from Colorado, line 3. Gloria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Gloria.
Hi. I'll be short and sweet. I'm a single, divorced mother and grandmother, and I have grandchildren.
Yep.
And I stand for Hobby Lobby, and I totally believe that it's so immoral for corporations to be forced into this kind of to allow evil for of this abortion. And I don't know.
Let me tell you this though. This is the administration is not hesitating on its position. I mean, we've been saying this since the beginning of the broadcast, but I want Jordan to bring this up again, because Gloria, they are unapologetic on this. I get David comment as well, but Jordan, let's set the stage how the question was asked. This is directly, we're not talking about contraception here. We're talking about abortions. Can the government mandate a privately held business to require in their insurance that you pay for abortion? And the answer, Jordan, was?
Yes, that the government can do that, because the business has no interest in objecting to that kind of mandate. That is their idea. They said, you know, we're not requiring that right now. We're not mandating that now. But under this reasoning of birth control or abortifacient, same thing.
So
interesting, that would not violate current law, which prohibits federal funding for abortion, but does not necessarily prohibit a mandate for private companies to have to pay for abortions. The money would be coming from a different source.
Yeah, and so, David, the reality is that this position, which we knew it was their position, the way they're so unequivocal about it is, but it does put a position in place that is so rigidly pro-abortion that it's really unprecedented.
It really is. I mean, you know, for years and years, we've been fighting over public funding for abortion. I mean, that's been the big issue in Washington for many decades, really since Roe. What the Obama administration does, it just leapfrogs over the government, goes straight towards the private sector, right, and says, you pay for it. We're going to make you pay for it. You're not going to have any ability to opt out. You have to come beg for the ability to opt out, and if we don't give it to you, that's just too bad.
You know, and we made the argument in our briefs, and this is true. You have a kosher butcher, and let's say the government decides we're going to pass a law that a butcher has to have, you know, has to sell pork, period, and has to produce pork. And the Jewish Orthodox butcher says, no, I don't want to do it. You're going to compel him to do it? And if the individual business guy, if the corporation, the small business, is set up as a corporation, Jordan, the position of the Obama administration would be basically tough. You have to do it.
Yeah, unless there was some kind of individual, and individual in the sense of they try to reach that you may be able to do it as an individual when it's targeted at you. But if you're trying to do it as a corporate entity, no. So it'd be easier to not incorporate your First Amendment rights and your constitutional protections and the protection of other federal laws than it would be to incorporate and then lose those rights. And again, we're talking about small, closely held companies here. The court said, of course, this would be a different situation if we're talking about an oil company like Exxon, and that's held by, you know, thousands of shareholders. Very different situation. We're talking here about small companies where the ownership is in the hands of a few individuals or families.
It's really an unprecedented move. All right, we're going back to the phones with your calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, let's go to Michelle in Washington State on line 2. Michelle, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Michelle.
Thank you. Good morning, Jay. Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in the backyard of Arlene's Flowers, and all these cases I've been following intensely. And the two things that keep coming up are conscious objection and religious freedom and the
yep.
defense thereof. Can you clarify what applies to what cases and why? Because in my mind, a conscious objection also protects those who oppose us. And there's no way that they can win that battle, or is there a backdoor that I don't see and I don't understand?
Well, it's a really great question, Michelle. When we say a conscious objection, under the Free Exercise Clause, there's an analysis that takes place. Can the government establish a compelling governmental interest that will require somebody to do something that they otherwise would not want to do? For instance, in racial discrimination, there is a compelling interest in eradicating racial discrimination. Therefore, if your religion says I can discriminate based on race, the answer is, sorry, there's a compelling governmental interest. We can make you not do that if you're in a business that serves public accommodations, for instance. That's part of the free exercise right. The conscience aspect of that will come in. For instance, you've got nurses, doctors, medical professionals that as part of their belief system, they are pro-life. They don't want to participate in an abortion decision or an abortion procedure. So it's part of the free exercise right is their conscience objection. But what the government's basically saying in this oral argument is, too bad. It doesn't matter, David, whether you've got that objection or not. We, the government, can mandate it, and we don't see a compelling governmental interest. Even if you had a free exercise right that, from what I'm hearing from Jordan, some of those justices would argue, you have a compelling interest is not met, therefore they can go ahead and make the abortion procedure, even if you had a free exercise right.
Right. I mean, that's one of the things that's amazing to me is they're actually arguing there's a compelling government interest in making a religious employer pay
for an abortion.
Exactly.
Jordan, how did that come up in the argument? Because that did come up. You said some of the justices said, we don't even have to get into the free exercise right because there's a compelling governmental interest in having this done.
Yeah. Basically, it came up in where is the line? You know, with what the government can mandate before a religious freedom or maybe if, you know, a religious freedom or First Amendment right is triggered, where you could then argue. And basically, the Obama administration said there is not a time. They even did not like the idea when, you know, there were provisions like Title VII, which is on racial discrimination, that there was an exemption made for, you know, specific kinds of churches, as they have done or institutions as they have done in the Affordable Care Act, which is one of the arguments of if you start making exemptions for anyone, how can you say this is so necessary, it's so important? And the Obama administration went right back, and this will be interesting for the case involving the religious employers, because they went right back and said, we want to make it clear, we may have given exemption to churches, but they're not forced to. You know, they never said that, and we only, that was a very small group of people, and they said, it, and the accommodation for religious organizations where they have to sign the paperwork and the insurance companies then provide it for free is something that was totally up to the government. So they don't feel like they had any kind of constitutional reasons why they had to do that, but instead were open to the idea that, you know, even if they couldn't do that constitutionally, they'd be fine with that interpretation.
I tell you, folks, that's why you fight back on these cases, and that's why we're doing it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan just left the Supreme Court just moments ago on this oral argument. Let's take another phone call here.
Yep, let's go to Stephen in Michigan on line four. Stephen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, Jay, thank you so much for your efforts, and you're fighting for the Lord on our side. And I declare victory for you. But my question is, they're trying to shove this abortion down our throat and really be lost with Roe versus Wade. And my question is, why have we not been able to overturn that thing? It was based on lies in the beginning. And it seems like a losing battle, but I don't believe that.
No, I mean, the fact of the matter is there have been challenges on Roe versus Wade raised over the year. They just haven't we haven't had five votes. There's been four votes to overturn the decision in Roe, but David, there's not been five.
That's right. I mean, arguably the closest we came was in the 1990s with the Casey decision, and a lot of people thought that there would be enough votes to overturn Roe, but Justice O'Connor, Justice Souter, they disagreed and they stuck with Roe. And that was one of the great disappointments in the battle against abortion. But, you know, there's still hope to keep fighting on this front. There is absolutely still hope. You know, and one of the things, I think one of the reasons why the Obama administration is taking such extreme measures right now is that it's seeing the argument on abortion slip away from them. This is one of the most pro-life generations since Roe. The number of abortions is going down in this country. The number of restrictions on abortion is going up. And they're trying to do an end run around all of these state efforts to restrict abortion and essentially try to rescue an abortion right that is fading a lot in our culture, in large part due to the efforts of pro-life folks all over the country.
Jordan, what was your, very quickly here, because we're taking a break, and by the way, taking more of your calls at 800-684-3110, is your sense at the end of the day on this that too close to call?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Washington Post just put up their report, and they said exactly what I started the show with, which was that Justice Kennedy, who looks like he kind of at first favored the government, worried that the government's argument would make it impossible for companies to object to paying for anything, including abortion coverage, because of the answers by the Obama administration. So, I mean, you know, right there, I mean, it seems like there's a balance going on, and will that answer, which is unlikely an answer in oral argument, would be what sways him, but certainly that's what his concerns were.
All right, we're going to have more analysis when we come back and your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's not many programs will give you the live report right from the Supreme Court of the United States. We do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that petition for life. And again, we're in that matching challenge campaign. Last few days here. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org for that matching gift. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. Back with your calls in just a moment. This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top 2 in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Whether it's uncertainty in the Middle East or challenging Obamacare and the Internal Revenue Service in federal court, the ACLJ focuses on the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether we're defending liberty here at home or around the globe, the ACLJ could not do its work without you, your support. And now, for a limited time, your gift will be doubled. A $25 gift becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. The ACLJ's matching challenge matches dollar for dollar every contribution made to the ACLJ. And you can make your gift online at aclj.org. The matching challenge is a critical way to support the work of the ACLJ. So take a moment right now and stand with the ACLJ. Double your gift today. Make a difference. Online, aclj.org, or call 1-877-989-2255.
That's our friend John Schlitt, that song here with the band here at Jay Sekulov. And by the way, here's the way out of here. The way out of here is we got to get to five. We've got to get five votes. It's that simple. I mean, you know, I always make this as a joke, but it's true. I'm not a great math student, but I could count to five. And in a Supreme Court case, at the end of the day, you have to get to five. So Frank Mannion, senior counsel for the ACLJ, who's been involved in a lot of these cases, all the cases that we brought on this mandate. This was his life for about 3 years, was in the arguments today along with Jordan. Frank, give me your assessment.
Jay, I'm optimistic. I think we win 5-4. I know people have made those predictions before only to be proven wrong. I think we've got Justice Kennedy, you know, the all-important swing vote. He did ask a few questions at the beginning that gave us some pause. But he was relatively relentless with the Solicitor General and put him on the spot. You could almost hear the room go silent when he asked the Solicitor General point blank, why couldn't the government force employers to pay for all kinds of abortions, any kind of abortion? Solicitor General didn't have an answer for him because the answer is not one that he wants the court to hear. And if there was a turning point, that may have been it when he was put on the spot by Justice Kennedy.
Do you sense, Frank, Jordan has said this, that the government's position was so extreme that when they say that, you know, could a law be passed and deemed constitutional compelling the abortion payment directly from the employer to the insurance company, that has to be coverage, not even just talking about contraceptive, abortions, the government's saying they have the authority to do it?
That's what they said. That's what they said. And even Justice Breyer was troubled by some of the government's positions. The question was asked, what about the kosher business? What about a Muslim business? If a law is passed that says they have to do something that violates their faith, no one could challenge it under your theory, correct, Mr. Solicitor General? He had no answer for that, Jay. And Justice Breyer clearly was troubled by that non-response.
You know, my concern, of course, in these is the reports out of the oral arguments, everybody remember this out of the Obamacare cases, was that the government, David, got, you know, really beaten up. And I think Jeff Toobin called it a train wreck. And they ended up carrying the day. So it always makes me nervous. I'm glad that Frank and Jordan are both optimistic, but I'm always nervous.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm encouraged to hear these reports, but I'm only 1% encouraged because we don't know until that decision is handed down. And I keep flashing back to Obamacare, where a lot of people did not think Justice Roberts would end up being the swing vote against or in favor of Obamacare.
Yeah, and he ended up being it. Here's what happens now, by the way. They'll go into conference on Wednesday and actually vote. So the vote on this case will take place on Wednesday. And then the decision probably won't come out until it's written by the end of June. But they'll vote. And then the whoever's in the majority, the most senior status member, whether if it's the Chief Justice, if he's in the majority, or if it's one of the other justices in the majority, will assign the majority decision. The senior justice for the dissent will assign the dissenting opinion. So they will vote Friday. That doesn't mean, by the way, a Wednesday. It doesn't mean votes don't change during the process of the opinions being drafted. They do. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Frank Mannion has joined us. Frank was leading the charge with our team on these other cases that we've litigated, including one at the Supreme Court of the United States right now that's pending all this. Let's take a phone call, Jordan.
Yep, right to the phones we go. Let's go 1-800-684-3110. Bob in Pennsylvania, line six. Bob, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Jay. Hey, my question is, if the Supreme Court backs the government on this, am I not discriminated against as a Christian? I would be restricted from ever starting a business because I would have to violate my moral values.
Well, precisely. But the position that their government's advocating, Frank, is that too bad. That's the price of going in business.
Exactly. They made that argument specifically today, Jay. There's a case called U.S. v. Lee where in dicta there's language to that effect, and that's the position they're taking. The price of going in business in this country is that you must leave your religion at the workplace door and defer to whatever the prevailing social mores may happen to be, however they violate your religious beliefs. The government doesn't see freedom of religion as a paramount value. The way the framers of the Constitution did.
Which, David, of course, raises the issue that if the government's taking that position, which they are, that it really damages and gives the government a tremendous amount of... It takes free out of free enterprise, as you said. I think that's right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at what point do you really own your business anymore if literally every aspect of it can be regulated and mandated by the government?
Yeah. Jordan, did you sense coming out of the argument that... the government took the position they did because basically they're betting the farm, so to speak, on getting this position through, that they took no middle ground, that they went with this kind of extreme position at the argument because this is what they believe and they're saying it, period.
Yeah, that's right. And they did also bring up the idea that they don't think that their accommodations, and there are questions about that because of some of the religious organizations that are challenging the accommodation, that you have to sign a form and the insurance companies then provide this, that they did not want to go so far as to say that they even believe that that will be a really something that they could put on the table here because that could be challenged as well. So it was a very all or nothing kind of argument. Either they can mandate this, they can require it, or not. And, you know, it's interesting, the government never addressed the issue because the justices brought this up, and Justice Kennedy was interested about it. The idea of, is it a wash? Financially, could the Green family and Hobby Lobby say, okay, instead of paying that $100 per person a day fine, which would be hundreds of over $400 million a year for Hobby Lobby, so put them out of business, they could pay a $2,000 one time a year per employee fine, raise the salaries a little bit, and it's about a wash, as you know, the cost of providing insurance, but no longer provide insurance. So pay the penalty or pay the tax for not providing insurance, and also to pay your people a little bit more and let them go out and get their plans.
Yeah.
And the government didn't even seem to say that they had a problem with that either.
Yep.
That the idea that they would, that you would induce someone not to follow the law.
And, you know, my concern with
that's
that
no
is,
big deal. And yet, yeah, Justice is doing that.
Yeah.
Suggesting that, which is bizarre.
Yeah. The concern I have, if Justice Kennedy thought that was a viable option, that's very troubling. Hopefully that's not. Joseph's calling from Texas on line one. Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Very quickly, please.
Yes, sir. Real quick. I worked at Walmart, and we had to set up a room.
Yep.
And I was an executive for an associate, so they could take their carpet in there, and they could pray. They could do whatever they
right.
wanted. And my question is, and that comment is for the gentleman that's in the military that can't do what he wants.
Right.
In the direction that we're going, what is going to separate us from being a communist country? From the direction that we're going.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's fighting back in a system of justice that allows us to fight back, and that's why you can't give up. I mean, we have a system. Believe me, the Supreme Court of Russia is not the Supreme Court of the United States. It's not. And that doesn't mean the Supreme Court gets it right here in the United States every time. They don't. But our system of justice is better than any place in the world, and I wouldn't trade it. I would not trade it for anything, and it is worth continuing to fight for, and that's precisely what we're going to do. Andrea, very quickly from Pennsylvania, 15 seconds here. Go ahead.
Hi. My husband and I don't currently have medical insurance.
Yep.
We didn't register for the Obamacare
yep.
because we were afraid that we would be supporting abortion
yep.
or something that...
Well, you would be.
Oh, okay. Now, if we have to pay for that, will it be an ongoing penalty?
There is an... If you don't comply with Obamacare, we'll get into this on tomorrow's broadcast, those penalties start going into effect. So the answer to that is yes. There are ways to get around that. There's these MedShare programs that are deemed exemptions under Obamacare. You should check those out, which don't involve the abortion funding. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Remember, matching challenge last week, ACLJ.org. Your online gift is match, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We'll have more analysis on the Supreme Court decision tomorrow. So you're going to want to stay tuned as we give you the full report. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255.
Moscow girls make me sing and shout. That daughter's always on my, 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 my.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.